All right, the passage of Vidui Meiser is referred to as a Vidui not only by us, it's not just something, a comment that we make, but it's in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Maseches Meiser Sheni says, B'mincha b'yom tov ha'achron, on the last day of Pesach, hayu misvadim, they would say a Vidui. Ketad hayu avidui, says the Mishnah, what was the text of this Vidui? B'yarti ha'kodesh min abayis, I already took care of all the Kodesh from my house, zeh Meiser Sheni v'netar revai, I took care of my Meiser Sheni and my netar revai, I brought it to Yerushalayim and ate it there, or was poded for money and used the money on food over there, v'gam nesativ l'levi, zeh Meiser Levi, and I also gave what I was supposed to give to the Levi. That's obviously a reference to Meiser Rishon. And it goes on, Asisi k'chol asher tzivisani, and I've done everything I was supposed to do. Samachti v'simachti. So I did everything with this celebratory, parade that you're supposed to do. What exactly is that all about? Meaning the description of the parade that you have of to bring these payrolls, meaning when he talks about Bikurim, that's part of the Vidui, that I did that also. And the description of the parade, to bring those payrolls with cheering crowds who stop in the middle of their workday in order to show us how great it is that we're bringing fruit baskets to Yerushalayim, that's part of what we have to acknowledge in the Vidui, that we have to say, oh, by the way, not only did I do all of the mitzvos, did I do all of the obligations that you're supposed to do with your payrolls, but I also made, it was such a matzav, it was unbelievable. You know, we made such a party, when we brought the bikurim. How is that, part of the vidui? Why is that important? You know, you read the description in the Mishnayos of what it looked like. Yeah, everyone comes out and cheers you on, and nowadays that makes sense to us, because nowadays everyone needs to be told that you're so great, you're the best, and everyone gets a trophy, and that wasn't always the attitude of society, and certainly not the attitude of Jewish society. So what's the purpose of this big celebration in the context of this mitzvah? Furthermore, the Mishnah in Sota Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph tells us, Ve'elu ne'amarim b'lashon ha-kodesh. The Mishnah goes through things that you could say b'kal lashon and things that you need to say b'lashon ha-kodesh dafka. There are certain things you can say in any language, certain things you can only say in lashon ha-kodesh. So what can be said in lashon ha-kodesh, only in lashon ha-kodesh? On the list, mikra bikurim. That when a person does mikra bikurim, now it's one of the few passages that has to be done b'lashon ha-kodesh. What doesn't need to be said in lashon ha-kodesh? Davening, kriya shema, right? Those things can be b'kal lashon. So Kriya Shema Mitzvah D'oraisa twice a day. Davening, pouring our hearts out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That could be, chaplop, whatever language you want. But you know what has to be with precision? It has to be exactly Lashon HaKodesh? Mikra Bikurim. Well, why does Mikra Bikurim have to be Lashon HaKodesh? And a third question. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel wonders why it is that people stop in the middle of their workday to stand for Mevi'ei Bikurim, but don't do the same for Talmidei Chachamim. Meaning, if you are working and you have a boss who's paying you, you're not allowed to stand for Talmidei Chachamim in the middle of the day. So the first, the Gemara says, "Ooh, kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, shari mipnei amomdim nei Talmidei Chachamim ein amomdim." That how precious is mitzvah b'shaita? Is a mitzvah that's being done at a time sensitive mitzvah, and it's being done in the right time that we stand for people who are doing a mitzvah b'shaita, but we don't stand for Talmidei Chachamim. But then the Gemara says, maybe in reality it shouldn't be appropriate for an hourly employee to stop working in order to stand for anybody. But if we were, the reason we stand for Mevi'ei Bikurim is because if we were not to stand for Mevi'ei Bikurim, Nimtza Machshil Nas Lava, then no one's going to bring Bikurim anymore. Because, what's the point of doing the mitzvah if you're not going to have crowds cheering for you when you do the mitzvah, right? That's why when you close the door at night and no one's home, you stop doing mitzvahs, right? Hopefully not, right? It's such a strange thing. Nimtza machshil nas lavo, because I don't have a crowd cheering me on as I'm doing a mitzvah, so in the future I'm not going to bring bikurim. How can we honestly say that by not standing for them and cheering them on, and not just that they won't do it, not just that they won't do it in the future, but I machshil them, it's my fault, because I'm not cheering them on. Lifnever l'sitin michshol doesn't mean that I didn't, pat someone on the back every time he does a mitzvah, that I didn't buy him a prize, give him a ribbon every time he does a mitzvah. They're making their own choice to do a mitzvah, not do a mitzvah. In fact, objectively, it's more correct l'chora not to stand right? So because I'm an hourly employee, how can I take off time from work to stand? So the right thing is really not to stand. So I should do the wrong thing because this baby is going to be discouraged from doing mitzvos if he doesn't get the proper covered for doing every mitzvah that he wants. What do we do with that? How do we understand that? So I think I saw it in Rav Mordechai Greenberg's Sefer on the Parsha, Midarkei HaParsha. Midarkei is a play on words, Mordechai, Midarkei. The Rosh Yeshiva Keren B'Yavne, when I was in Keren B'Yavne. Now he's not the Rosh Yeshiva anymore. But he quotes Rav Kook, who develops the idea that the general approach of tzaddikim is to always look for their shortcomings and to always feel that they haven't accomplished enough. And the concept of Cheshbon Nefesh is that it's important to do that, to do an actual Cheshbon Nefesh, to look for averos. I just mentioned Temen Halach Shia this week, the Mishnah Berurah in Halachs of Kriyas Shema Lamita, the Mishnah Berurah says that you have to think about which averos you did that day. You have to look for averos. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, if you can't think of any, I got some suggestions. And the Mishnah Berurah goes through some of the more commonly violated averos, Chanifa and Sheker and Lashon Hara, right? Meaning there are lots of averos that probably if you gave it enough thought, you'd be able to find. But, says Rav Kook, if you only focus on that which is lacking in Avodas Hashem, and you don't celebrate the good stuff, then you're going to risk that Cheshbon HaNefesh will be Tigzol Mimenu Sasono V'Simchaso V'Shalvas Nafsho. That Cheshbon HaNefesh is going to depress you. It's going to rob you of your joy in life. It's going to rob you of a sense of calm in your life. And a person needs to live life with a certain amount of joy. A person needs to have happiness in his life in order to grow, in order to accomplish, in order to be. The exercise of the Bikurim parade was designed to celebrate and to create a sense of positivity and energy, meaning it's good to have things like that. Now, there are some people that don't need much of this and that they'll be motivated to do. I've never seen Rav Shechter make a siyum, and he'll tell you, well, I've never finished anything. Come on, right? I've never seen, but most normal people, at a certain point, we need to celebrate our learning. We need to celebrate our accomplishments. We just need to do it in order to give ourselves a certain sense of chizik and positivity and energy. And Rav Kook said, so they had to pick a mitzvah where there was going to be a big deal. You don't do it with every mitzvah, right? Meaning we're not like that. You don't make a scene with every word of Torah. That, oh, you know what the Gross says about the power of one word of Torah? Let's make a whole party fleishig with a bartender, right? You don't do it for every. But they had to pick one mitzvah. They had to pick one mitzvah where they were going to make this great party. So if Cook explained, they picked a mitzvah that straddles every category of Torah. Meaning there are many ways that we categorize mitzvos. There are los haseis and there are aseis. There are mitzvos hatzibur and mitzvos of the yachid. There's ben al makom, ben al chavero. So he says, by refraining from tevel, that's a lav. The mitzvos hafrasha, that's an asei. A chovas hayachid to do trumas and maestros and collectively taking care of our kohanim and levim by providing them with the trumas and maestros, that's a chovas hatzibur. Removing the yisr tevel is ben adam lemakom. Delivering the truma to a grateful kohen, that's ben adam lechavero. So when you have an all-inclusive and broad mitzvah that relates to the agricultural way that we deal with our peiros in Eretz Yisrael. It's been on Makom, it's been on Chavero, it's a mitzvah sayachin, it's a mitzvah sarab, it's everything, it's aseis and los aseis. So dafka, in that context, we want to make a big deal about it, and we want to celebrate, and we want to declare our celebration. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes that Hebrew is called the Shona Kodesh because it's such a clean language. There are no words in Hebrew that describe, the reproductive organs of a human being, for example. So we always use other words, the Rambam writes. We say, osomakom, aver, things like that, which have other meanings, which are more, have much more broad meanings than that. Like there's no designated word for anything that's unclean. There's a way, even in Yiddish, people sometimes speak like that. Right? When someone gets diagnosed with cancer, it's not cancer, it's yenamachla. That there's no, you don't put a word to it. You don't put a word to something so negative. And that's Lashon HaKodesh. However, the Ramban understands that Lashon HaKodesh is not called Lashon HaKodesh because of that. The Ramban writes that the 70 nations correspond to 70 languages, and each language is a reflection of that nation. Klal Yisrael is an Am Kadosh. Because we're an Am Kadosh, our language is Lashon HaKodesh. So Bikurim, which is a celebration of the greatness of Klal Yisrael, Bikurim is where we're able to say, we have some wins, we have some good stuff going for us. We're an Am Kadosh. That's where we dafka speak B'Lashon HaKodesh. It's a reflection of the very greatness that we're celebrating when we bring Bikurim. Rav Henoch Leibowitz, no relation, was Rosh Shiva in Chavetz Chaim, points out that when the Gemara says that the failure to stand for the Mevi'e Bikurim is Machshilin Lasalavo, it's referring to a reality that people need encouragement. Because if a Rebbe never encourages or inspires a student, a person could argue that when the student doesn't learn, what do you mean? It's his own fault. He has his own Bechira Chavshis. He could choose to learn and not to learn. But if we don't give proper encouragement to people, then at a certain point, most normal people will fall apart. Most normal people they need positive reinforcement. It used to be when I was a Rebbe in high school, so the Rebbeim were supposed to write comments on the report card. So there were like these automated comments for the secular teachers, but that you just click number one and it says he doesn't do homework or whatever, right? But for the Rebbeim, you're supposed to actually write a comment. And, for some Rebbeim, it was an opportunity to vent, right? Meaning, this kid makes my life miserable and I'm going to share that with the parents. And, for others, though, it's an opportunity to uplift a person. That, could be uncomfortable. The kid doesn't want to listen when you tell him directly. You could be so great. You are so great. What you've done, how you've grown, how you've done. And when you, of course, the kid's reading the comments. Not his parents reading the comment. But it's an opportunity to give encouragement. It's an opportunity to build somebody up. I was talking to Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, interviewing him for the Reitz podcast last week. And he said that a father of a teenager said to him, I may have told you this, that a father of a teenager said to him, I don't understand, I told my kid 100 times to do this and he still doesn't do it. And he said, if you told him 100 times and he still doesn't do it, did it ever occur to you that maybe you're not saying it right? If you told him 100 times and he doesn't do it. So obviously don't tell him 101st time. That's not what he needs. He needs it to be delivered in a different way. He needs the message to be delivered with a more uplifting message and not without negativity. So it's an interesting view on the whole idea of Bikurim and really the mitzvah Satlius Baretz. That the mitzvah Satlius Baretz and the acknowledgement of fulfillment of the mitzvah Satlius Baretz is really an acknowledgement of how great the Jewish people are. That we're worthy of celebrating. That we're worthy of a certain level of greatness. I hesitate to say this because I haven't yet worked out my thoughts fully. But I think it bears some level of mentioning. If we really appreciate what it means to be a Jew, and we really appreciate what a Jewish neshama is, what the value of a Jewish life is, and we really appreciate that being part of Am Yisrael means that we have a much larger family than most people have. It's not that we're a small nation, we're a big family. So, when you have a week where there's a horrible terror attack in Ramot, where 4 chayalim are killed, and where horrifically, a very important political commentator and mover and shaker in the political scene in America, horrifically, was murdered. How much of our headspace do each of those things take up? I mean, how much of our headspace, how much of our conversations, I understand that I know all the reasons, right? Meaning, unfortunately, we've already grown accustomed to terror attacks, and I didn't know those people. They weren't part of my life, but on my YouTube shorts, I see Charlie Kirk talking to, some pink-haired, gender-neutral person on a college campus somewhere. But And it's and not for a minute, I shouldn't even say it, not for a minute am I minimizing how horrific it is, how horrific it is. And I'm not saying not to pay attention to it. Do pay attention to it. And do realize that it represents something awful about the direction of this country. When that's the way political discourse is done, is with bullets. Realize all of that. And then, every time that thought pops into your head, and every conversation you have with that, also try to find out something about one of the victims from Ramot. Also think about how Jewish lives were lost this week. Also think about one of the families whose son is not coming home. I mean, we just can't let it dominate because we have too much of our own stuff. And if we appreciate what Kedushas Yisrael means, and we appreciate what it means to be part of a mishpacha of Klal Yisrael, so again, we're humans also. And we are repulsed and angry and all of those things. It's all fair and correct and proper. Just make sure that we haven't forgotten who our family is. You know, I was at a funeral yesterday where a 16-year-old girl lost her father. She's thinking about her father a lot more than she's thinking about Charlie Kirk right now. Not because she believes that what happened to Charlie Kirk is not horrific and horrible and the worst, and not, but it's her father. So if we have a brother, we have a sister. So it's our brother, it's our sister. So again, I haven't worked out my thoughts. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything, but I think that's a little bit of maybe. That's where I am right now in terms of thinking about how to internalize current events. Okay.